Hi. Okay, good. Okay, so last week, I still want to go over with you, maybe one of these days I'll go over with you. We discussed an introduction to Hilchot Chanukah. We basically spoke about how Chanukah, there's a lot of different numbers, a lot of different threes. Right, the number three was a very popular number for different reasons. Just a few highlights that we discussed. One of them was that one of the three things that the Yevanim, the Greeks, tried destroying was Chodesh, Milah, and Shabbat. It was Chodesh, Brit Milah, and Shabbat. So another of the three, the number three that the Ben Ish Chai discussed was that we have three. We serve God with three, with Machshava, Dibur, and Maaseh. With Machshava is our thought, Dibur is our speech, Maaseh is actions. And the Ben Ish Chai spoke about a whole bunch of different things, and then he ended up saying, and that's why on Chanukah, we start off with three mitzvot, three berachot. Okay, so that's what we're up to. We're up to halacha aleph. Uh-huh. So we're up to halacha aleph. Okay, so do a few halachot. I usually try to prepare as much as I can. I didn't prepare that much today. So I prepared the first three halachot, and the fourth halacha, I guess we'll just learn together, and hopefully I know what's going on. Okay, so halacha aleph. So Bilel Rishon, on the first night of Chanukah, mivarchim shosha berachot. We say three berachot, three blessings. So what are the three blessings? Lehadlik, right? Lehadlik Nen Hanukkah. And Vishasa Nisim, right? Shasa Nisim, Labotinu Bayamim Hayem Azman Azeh. And the third one is Shechianu. Shechianu Kimanu Vigenu Azman Azeh. So three berachot. V'natnu ha-poskim Zal Siman. The poskim, the rabbis, gave us a siman. They gave us a way to remember. A siman literally means a sign, but basically it's a way to remember that what? It says in the Pasuk, in Bamidbar, Ase lecha saraf, make for yourself, I think saraf means like a flame or like a fire, v'sim oto al nes, and place on it a miracle, v'ra oto v'hai, and you will see it and you will live. So I don't remember exactly what this Pasuk is talking about.
Isn't the nes a candle?
Nace is
Nace, I think, means miracle, no?
No, I think it also means candle.
Okay, so that same means candle. You know, we could really look up. You want to give me one of the regular psukim there.
Also, seraph. Isn't that like a type of angel? That's like a fire.
Yeah.
Seraphim, right?
Yeah, seraphim, yes. Yeah, exactly. So, but over here, what does it mean? I'm not sure what it means. Let's see. Bamidbar chaf aleph het. Chaf aleph het.
Make for yourself a fiery serpent and place him on a pole.
Oh, so okay, a nest is a pole, right?
Oh yeah, a pole.
Okay, a nest is a pole here, and Saraf is a fiery serpent.
And it will be that anyone who is bitten will look at it and live.
Oh yeah, I remember this. This is by, exactly. So now, okay, so now it happens to be...
Wait, nest is a pole, you said?
In this case, yeah. So now it happens to be that the Ben Ish Chai is basically... like the Ben Ish Chai loves to do, he's basically learning it out of context. And he's saying that Saraf, even though it means in the Pasuk, literally means a fiery serpent, but in this case, he's just saying, no, a Sedech HaSaraf makes up a fire, meaning like a candle, right? Oh, okay, I got photographs for you. Here, yeah, come.
I got it. Yeah. Rabbi, don't forget, yeah. Rabbi. Just do it.
Oh, just do it. Yeah. Oh, okay. So the Ben Ish Chai is basically... it's basically learning it in a way. Should we move the table out? I'll sit at the end.
No,
you good? Yeah. Okay. So Ben Ish Chai is learning that the pasuk is based. The way we can learn the pasuk is make for yourself a fiery serpent. Really, in our case, mean make yourself a fire. Like the first beracha is ladlik, and the second beracha is shasa nisim. So that's the second part of the pasuk. V'sim oto al nes. So right, nes means a pole, or in our case, it would mean nes, like shasa nisim. Right, I'll explain in a second. And the third part of the pasuk is v'ra oto v'hai, and you see it and you will live. Meaning v'hai is the shoresh or the word shechianu. So the Ben Ish Chai always finds a way to you know, he always finds a way, somehow, always finds a way to take the psukim and to learn the drasha parts of it and to explain those things in a different way. So basically, we just started halacha aleph. So halacha aleph talks about the three berachot that we say when we light the menorah. And the three berachot are the hadlik, which is hadlik ner Hanukkah, shasa nisim avotenu, is about the miracles, and the third beracha is shechianu, like we make on all the holidays. The first night you always make a shechianu. So, and then the Ben Ishchai basically brought down a pasuk from the Torah, which even though the Torah was written way before Hanukkah happened, because Hanukkah is not a biblical holiday, it's a rabbinical holiday. It only came out way after. But like Ben Ishchai and others always show how everything is connected. The Torah is connected. Everything is connected. So from this pasuk, it talks about if you see the fire serpent, if you make yourself a fire serpent and look at the pole and you will live, which has nothing to do with Chanukah, but the Ben Ishchai somehow translates each part of that pasuk to be related to each one of the berachot that we make. Okay, so that's what we're up to. Good. So now, it says gam nirmizu botiot misparam shehu otiot shlosha. It says another remez, another hint, is in the letters, in the number of the letters, which end up spelling shalosha. So what does it mean? So it means that the Rashi Tevot, he's going to explain. Shegam hem simanam shalosha. What does it mean? Gam hem simanam shalosha. Rashi Tevot shasa lehadlik shehyanu an hanenot halalu. So what's the first letter? Shasa is Shin, Ladlik is Lamed, Shechianu is Shin, and Hanot is Hey. So he's telling us that so Hanot Talal, it's interesting because he didn't tell us yet, he's about to explain it to us. But what happens after we say the first three Barachot? We start singing Hanot Talalu. So when we sing Hanot Talalu, the first letter is Hey. So what's the first letter of each one of the berachot and of the first passage we say after that is Shin Lamed Shin Hey, which again spells Shlosha, which again is the number three, and which again is a way of connecting everything. Basically, the like we said earlier, like we said last week, the three things that the Greeks tried destroying, which is Chodesh, Milah, and Shabbat, and the three berachot that we make, and the three ways to serve God with our, right, like we said, the three ways to serve God are with our machshava, dibur, and maaseh. So the Ben Ishchai seems to love tying in the number three into the holiday of Chanukah. Yeah, good. Any questions? So far, so good. Yeah. Okay. So now he says, "Vahar shidlik nerishon yomar hanerot halalu v'nusachem dukan yafeh." So now he explains to us that after we make the three berachot, we say hanerot halalu, which is the first prayer we say. Now, what does it mean nusachem dukan yafeh? He says there's a specific nusach you should say. So I wasn't aware of this, but apparently, I guess there's different nuschaot, maybe there's different versions of this prayer. Maybe, you know, there's always like one where, you know, Sfarim say like this, Ashkenazim say like that. I'm sure there's like different variations, but he says make sure you say the right way. Why? Sheyesh bo lamed vav tevot. The correct way that we say has 36 words, right? Make sure you say the one that has 36 words. Why? Why is 36 words important? Besides for 36 being double chai, right? Sfarim mostly say chai, two chai, three chai, four chai, five chai, 10 chai, 20 chai, 50 chai, right? Besides for that, keminyan hanerot shekol shemrat yamim. The candles, if you add up all the candles of the 8 days, you get 36 candles. So how do you get 36? So 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 equals 10. Plus 5 equals 15. Plus 6 equals 21. Plus 7 equals 28. Plus 8 equals 36. So 36 candles. So hanerot halalu anu madlikim al hanisim. I don't know, there's different ways of saying it. But that the 36 words are correspondent to the 36 candles of Chanukah. Okay. So then he says, "V'yamdu ishto v'anav b'shat beracha b'shat alaka kol nerot." He says, and everyone should stand, his wife and his children during the beracha and during the shat alaka kol nerot. So now I just want to point something out. Why is he saying that? And your wife and your kids should stand. So I'm not sure if this is what he's referring to or not, but I know that there's a machloket in the halacha that, let's say you are. So for me, this pertains to myself. I was a bachur in yeshiva many years, and I wasn't at home, right? I was in all over the place. I was in Florida, I was in Farakwe, I was in Israel. And so Ashkenazim, they hold that every single member of the family lights a chanukiah, right? Lights a menorah. Yeah. You know that? Every single, by Ashkenazim, every member of the family lights a menorah, which is unbelievable. I have 10 kids, 10 menorot, right? And some of the grandkids, you know, they come over from whatever, they go visit. So some of you have 20. So by Sfaradim, we say, no, there's one menorah for the whole family. So that halacha can get complicated. Because let's say I'm in Israel, my father's in Montreal, right? So for me, Israel's 7 hours ahead. So now it's time to light. Right? For my father, Chanukah is not for another 7 hours.
Maybe you got yotzei by your father's. I don't know.
No, you're lying.
So what I did was I didn't light because according to Sfaradim, Sfaradim are very, when it comes to making an extra bracha, Sfaradim are very, it's very strict. It's a very delicate subject, making a bracha. So a lot of brachot that the Ashkenazim make, we don't make. Like so, thunder and lightning, for example, Ashkenazim don't make a bracha on thunder and lightning.
Oh, they don't?
They do.
They do, yeah.
We don't. Because I think there's different, it could be there's different approaches, but I know for sure what I grew up with, maybe I should look into this again, but what I grew up with was that by Sfaradim, thunder and lightning and different things, we make the bracha without the name of Hashem.
I grew up saying the bracha.
Saying with the name of Hashem? Okay. So maybe Moroccans is different than Persians, I don't know. But I know for sure that by brachot, Sfaradim generally are more, did you grow up saying with the name of Hashem? You don't know?
No idea. We didn't have a growing up tradition. Okay. We just do whatever our... Yeah. So since we grew up like with Ashkenaz community, we just...
Oh, you
whatever
said,
they do.
Okay, no. Yeah. So it happens to be. So I know. I was actually talking to my neighbor, Simon, about this a few days ago. And we were talking about... Sukkah or something. I forgot what we were talking about. And he basically said, oh, the Sfaradim, when it comes to making bracha, the Sfaradim are... They're scared to make brachot. You know, he was like joking a little bit. But basically, certain berachot, but the Sfaradim were a little bit more stringent, and we try to stay away if we don't really need to, whatever. So obviously, we could learn that, you know, we could spend the whole year just learning that. But basically, why am I bringing this back over here, is that when I was in yeshiva, and I wasn't married yet, I never made a bracha on Chanukah. So what did I do? I was samech on my father, and in addition to that, I also gave like a dollar or 50 cents or whatever to one of my roommates, and I answered, I'm in with him, and he also had me in mind. Just to cover all grounds.
Your roommate was Ashkenaz.
And he did the bracha, exactly. So that's to cover, why am I covering all grounds? Because I think like certain opinions hold that you should be making the bracha. So a way for me to be yotzei with that opinion also, sorry, is by, my feet, I'm sorry, yeah. Is by, if I give money to a roommate and he says bracha and he has me in mind, then that could cover the, you know, in case I wasn't yotzei to my father, that'll be yotzei this way. So, back to this line. So what does that do with this line? So I think, now it could be it's a far stretch. You can tell me, you could agree, disagree with me. I want to hear what you have to say. But I think when he's saying, v'yamdu ishto vanav b'shat bracha, he's saying someone who's married is making the bracha for his wife and his kids. So his wife and his kids should stand with him when he makes the bracha, as opposed to a yeshiva bacher, which is does not have a wife and kids, this doesn't apply to him. So he doesn't, that's what he's specifically saying. And your wife and kids should stand with you, meaning when you start making your own bracha, when you get married.
No, I'm confused. If you, aren't you ahead of your own household, even if you don't have a wife and kids, like
oh,
if
so
you're
good,
alone.
So if you're not, you're right. It's true. So if a person is, there's something called Samech HaShulchan Aviv. Samech HaShulchan Aviv means you're dependent on your father's house, meaning your father is supporting you. So if your father is supporting you, then you're basically dependent on him. So he does, but you're right. But if you have a job and you have your own apartment and you have your own house and you're already moved on, then you make your own bracha 100%. Correct.
Gotcha.
So I think maybe he's just saying that, meaning as a, I don't know, maybe I'm just making a diuk, making a little bit of a far stretch. Okay. Just, maybe when I go back to yeshiva today, I'll ask one of the rabbis to see what he says. Okay. I'll get back to you guys next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's halacha. So was it good?
Yes.
Okay. Halacha bet. So Afagav, even though the benerot Shabbat nusach haberacha hu ladlik ner shel Shabbat. So now there's something very interesting. On Shabbat we say ladlik, or the women say ladlik ner shel Shabbat, right? However, benerot shel Hanukkah mivarechin ladlik ner Hanukkah without the word shel. Very important. Ve'en omrim shel. He says we don't say the word shel. Why? So there's a machloket, and the Sfaradim end up saying that we don't say the word shel by Chanukah. However, Ashkenazim they say shel by Chanukah,
mm-hmm.
But we're not Ashkenazim, so we don't say it. Okay. So now let's say you.
How could it be yotzei by an Ashkenazi?
Oh, so I think if you say it anyhow, it doesn't mean you're not yotzei, right? You still did. Meaning the next time at least. So that's a good question. Meaning if you say the word shal, you totally ruined the bracha. I don't think you totally ruined the bracha, because in a lot of things, a lot of times it's machloket, right? So some opinions say this, some opinions say like that. If you end up doing like other opinions, so for you in the future you should try to do the correct opinion that you're supposed to be following. But it doesn't mean you did an avera, chas v'shalom. It doesn't mean you did the wrong thing. It just means you followed other opinions than you weren't supposed to. Certain times in halacha, there'll be one opinion says one thing and a million opinions says the other thing, then, you know, there isn't even room to be mekel, right? But if Sfarim hold like one thing and Ashkenazim hold like another thing, if you do like the Ashkenazim because you don't know better, that's still fine. But once you learn, oh wow, until now I've been doing this way, and this is what the Ashkenazim hold, and I'm Sfaradi. So all of a sudden I learned this halacha that Sfarim do things differently. That doesn't mean for the last 10, 20 years you're doing the wrong thing, you're doing Averot. It just means that you were following one shita, and now you learned, right? That's what people don't realize. Judaism is a growing experience, right? A person is always growing. Everything, every day is growing. Judaism is a growing experience. Right, it's right? Even though we're born right in the womb, a person learns Kol HaTorah Kula, and once they're born, the Malach taps them, and they forget everything. Right? So wouldn't it be better if we didn't forget everything and we knew everything and then we came to this world and we did all the mitzvot correctly? So obviously, it's not like that because God wants it to be that we work on ourselves and we work and we make mistakes and trial and error and we grow and it's all part of a big life. Has to be one big growing experience. 120 years of growing, of growth. B'ezrat Hashem for all of us. But so the point is, yeah. So that'd be a good question. Let's say my roommate was Ashkenazi. Okay, so my roommate's Ashkenazi, so I could be Somech and Ashkenazi. Sometimes we want to be Somech and Ashkenazi. For example, the what? Again, back to Berachot. So when we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, right? So we don't say the full Hallel, right? We won't say the full Hallel a few days a year. I think Hanukkah we say the full Hallel, right? Yeah. Hanukkah is the full Hallel. And the beginning of Sukkot, the beginning, and I think the whole Pesach also, I think.
Isn't it the whole
Sukkot? Oh, the whole Sukkot and the beginning of Pesach, yeah. Right? And then Shavuot, we say the whole Hallel. But otherwise, Rosh Chodesh, and other times we don't say the whole Hallel. So now, Ashkenazi make a Beracha, on Chetzi Hallel, Sfarim do not. Now by Moroccans, right, you guys already know this, but by Moroccans, this literally brings, this conversation brings fireworks to the table. I still don't have a clear answer. I don't make a bracha on Hallel. But some Moroccans do, some Moroccans don't, some Moroccans Chazan does. It's very complicated. But Ashkenazim do make a bracha by Hallel. So, one approach is if you're praying in Ashkenazi Minyan, and you're not making halal because you're Sephardi, but the Ashkenazi next to you is, so you tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, Ashkenazi friend, can you have me in mind with the bracha? Then you answer, amen. And he has you in mind, right? Because you're getting a bracha from someone else.
Doesn't the Chazan have everyone in mind?
So the Chazan has, so I think by the Ashkenazim, the Chazan does not have everyone in mind, because he knows everyone's making the one bracha. But by the Moroccans, in certain Moroccan communities, the Chazan has everyone in mind, and only the Chazan makes the bracha. Now the reason behind that is debatable. Okay. So that's a lot of tangents today. Today's tangent day. Okay. So back to this. So back to Chanukah. So on Shabbat, we say Ladik Ner Shel Shabbat. And by Chanukah, we say Ladik Ner Chanukah, unlike the Ashkenazim. Now, also, I was just thinking about sitting in the car on the way to YU, my first leg of the trip. I go to YU, and then I come here, and then go back to YU, and go back once we're sick. So it's good. It's worth it. It's worth it. Baruch Hashem.
Shying all day.
Baruch Hashem, that's what we anticipate to do. So I was just thinking about it. If down the road you remember that Rav Chazan said that we say Shel by one of them, and you don't remember which one, I was just thinking Shel has a Sheen, and Shabbat has a Sheen, so Shel is on Shabbat. But not on Chanukah, because there's no Sheen in Chanukah. Okay, just a cute little mental note. Yeah, you like that? Yeah? Okay, thank you. Yeah, it's going to remember, right? Because very often what happens is you hear a shiur, and then you're like, oh, I remember the writers of those two opinions, I don't remember which one is which, you know? So in this case, you know, I'm trying to not confuse as much as I can. Okay, so now the Ben Ish Chai continues. So now, how come we say that Ladik Ner Chanukah? It's amazing. So in Halakha Bet, the fourth line, so he says, Kedeh in order, Shechaven HaMevarech, V'Rashe Tevot, Nun Het Lamed. Right? We want to have in mind the Rashi Tevot, the letters, meaning Rashi Tevot is the beginning of the word, the letters are the beginning of the words, which three letters? Nun, Chet, Lamed. So which words have Nun, Chet, Lamed? So he says, Shehu Shem Kadosh Haramuz Rashi Tevot, Notzer, Chesed, Lalafim. Right? God does Chesed, creator of Chesed, of kindness, Lalafim, for 2,000 generations. So we want to keep those words in mind. Notzer is Nun, Chesed is Het, and Alafim is Lamed. So when we say Lahadlik Ner Hanukkah, we have Nun, Het, and Lamed. If we say that leak ner shel Hanukkah, we have an extra sheen and we throw it off. So we don't want that sheen. That leak ner Hanukkah is also nan nun haithlamed, notseir haithed larafim, creator of chesed of kindness for 2,000 generations.
What's wrong with the sheen?
So if you have the sheen, then it doesn't work. You don't have Rashi Tevot anymore. Rashi Tevot is the beginning, right? You want to have the beginning letter of each word. Right. If you have the sheen, then you throw off the whole equation, right? The whole equation. Good, yeah? Now, he says, Ubrashi Tevot Pasuk, Nafshenu Hikata Hashem. My soul yearns for you, Hashem. Again, it's Nun Hayat Lamed, right? So he says, it's another Pasuk you want to have in mind. Shigarahem Nitsu Bishir. So what does that mean? Because shegam hem, so to them, nitzu, they were saved. Bishvil shebatchu b'Hashem itbarach. Because they were batchu. What does batchu mean? Boteach. They trusted in Hashem itbarach. V'tzipu l'shuato. And they were mitzabe. They were yearning. They were looking forward to the salvation. So because Klal Yisrael was yearning for God's salvation, so because of that, they were saved. So it was in the bracha, built into the bracha, we have the Nun Haithlamet to help us remind us of that fact, that tidbit. Right? Good? Is that clear? Yeah? V'amarti b'siyata d'shmaya, right? And I said, or we said b'siyata d'shmaya, right, with the help of God, d'lachen haya ha'nes b'chodesh Kislev. Now, why was the nest during this month of Kislev? D'rosho v'sofo chavav. What's Kislev? Chav, Samach, Lamed, Yud, Vav. Five letters. What are the first and last letters? Chav and Vav. What's Chav and Vav? Mispar, Shem, Havaya. Yud Ke Vav Ke is what? 26. So Kislev, the first letter and the last letter is 26. What are the three middle letters? Samech, Lamed, and Yud. So Veotiot HaNishayim BaEmtza, the three letters in the middle, Hem Rashi Tevot, what are the Rashi Tevot of what? Ifukanach, Sabarit, Hashem. Right? That's the three letters. Samach, Lamed, and Vav. Even though it's Samach, Lamed, and Yud. Even though it's not in order. But the Bukanach Sabarit Hashem. What does that mean? Shu Targum Shel Pasuk, Eshoatecha Kiviti Hashem. To your salvation, I wait, Hashem. So again, we're waiting for God's salvation. So again, built in to the month is the name of God, right? Is the equivalent to the number of Yudkei Vavkei, which is also Midat Achamim, by the way. Right? God, Yudkei Vavkei is Midat Achamim, is mercy, is the name of God in mercy. So Kislev, the first line and last line of Kislev connote Yudkei Vavkei, and the middle three letters connote L'shutcha Kivitei Hashem. God, I wait for your salvation. So this, you know, this is, the Ben Ishchai brings us, he doesn't just teach a halakha, he teaches a halakha with a twist.
Do you think that it's a little far-fetched, though, these numbers? Like, I don't know, like with the Kislev, the first and last letter, and the last 26.
So it's Ben Ishchai style. And I hear what you're saying. It's a little bit out of the box.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you, but this is a very important you saw that it's very, very good to know. Is that, I remember hearing this one time, this really changed my life, is that there's something called Pardes. Pardes means, you heard this before?
Peshat, Remez. So, I don't know.
Yeah, so and Drush.
So, the hidden, the secret.
Yeah, so Pardes is a garden. Pardes literally, in Hebrew, means a garden.
I was in Jewish mysticism 301 in Queens College.
Oh, very good.
No, so, really, I have a course. It's right there.
I know.
I took it.
So Pardes means garden. So what does garden mean? So garden, so Torah is like a garden, mm-hmm. right? It's pleasant like a garden. Why? It's because of Rashi Tevot. Again, Rashi Tevot, the first... Oh, really, it's not... Here, it's all the letters. All the letters of the word. What are the four letters of the word? Pei, Reish, Dalid, Samach. Which stands for Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. Which means... Pshat means a simple interpretation. Remez is the hints. Remez is hints. Drush is the... The English word for Drush is homiletical interpretations, which is like drasha, like you connect and you this and you go backwards and forwards and everything comes together. And so does the secrets, is the Kabbalah, right? None of that. I think I heard Rabbi Mansour say this. Rabbi Eli Mansour, which is a very big rabbi. So in learning, there's many different forms of learning. But anyway, you know, obviously a person's knowledge is make up halacha, you can't just make things up. But someone like the Ben Ishchai, who's accepted and who was a big rabbi and who everyone knows about and who was big, a lot of many books and was a very, very straight person and really close to God. So when he says things like this, there's more meaning to it. Mm-hmm. Meaning if I would make these things up, I think, right, exactly. But the Joel says, I don't think it would be have much meaning to it. But even maybe it would. Meaning, I just heard a story recently, very recently. I don't remember who it was, but it was basically two Talmidim in Yeshiva were having an argument about they had an argument, and one had a question, the other one had an answer, and they weren't sure if it was the right answer or not, right? So they went to the rabbi, and the rabbi said, oh, it's a very good question, but I don't know if the answer is a good answer, I'd have to find out, right? So he says, where'd you get the answer from? He says, that's the answer my mind told me. So I think it was in Europe. So the rabbi sent a letter to the Briskerov, which is one of the big Ashkenazi rabbis. No, he's not alive anymore, but he's from not long ago, like 50 years ago, maybe he passed away. No, right? How long?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe less than 50 years ago. So the Briskerov sent back the same answer. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, the answer is a good answer now, right? Because the Briskerov said it. So the student said, one second. I said the same answer as him. We said the same answer. Why is his answer good and my answer? And why when I said it wasn't good and when now he says it's good? He says, because the Briskerov is only called Torah Kula. He knows everything. He knows all the Torah. Everything. So he obviously thought of it, connected all the Torah knowledge, and created the answer, and this is the answer that he came out with. He says, you're still a student. You don't know all the Torah. So you came out with an answer that out of logic. It seemed like a pleasant answer, but there was no basis for it. There's no source. You had no way to prove if it was right or not. He said the same answer, but he was able to prove that it was right. That's the difference. So it doesn't mean your answer is not good. Is that sometimes a person has like a pshat, if it's not, that's what we always say, you said a good question just like that rabbi. Oh, you were mechavin to this rabbi, to that rabbi, to the other rabbi. So someone one time told me, why are you always comparing me to rabbis? Why I want to be myself. So no, it's a praise to be compared to a rabbi, because the rabbis that are accepted, they're so great, they're so big. When they say something, it carries a lot more weight.
It's like being an expert in the field.
Exactly.
Like some random person is going to say something.
So exactly.
If it was a Briskerov, proof scientifically, Hashem, you can do all that stuff according to all
the stuff. So the Briskerov is not alive anymore, but I'm sure if you go through all his teachings. But I don't think he has any books on proving scientific Hashem. There are other rabbis, big rabbis, Reb Shimon Rafal Hirsch, right? Didn't he speak a lot about? Did he? You know, maybe you like his books, right?
Lawrence Kellerman?
No, not Lawrence Kellerman. Reb Shimon Rafal Hirsch. You know, we're going to talk about it after. But he's a very, very big rabbi from the Ashkenazi community. But he fought the Maskilim, the people who were trying to disprove God. He was fighting against them
in
Germany. And he has a lot of books, and I think they're translated in English.
That prove that?
Maybe, you know, we'll have to get his books. Let's get his books. Okay, but one more halakha. One more halakha.
Three books for me.
What? I know. Oh my God, I have a whole list. Okay, so we'll do one more halakha and we'll stop. Yeah?
Is that good?
One
that's good.
Yeah? Okay. So, but does that answer your question? Is that good?
Yeah.
So it's different, different approaches. Now, also, I'll just tell you one more thing, actually. It's very interesting. Two more things, and then we'll finish halakha. So, what's two more things I'm going to tell you? The first thing is that I heard also a story from Rabbi Mansour. There was a very big rabbi, right, who one time wanted to write a book on Kabbalah, right? Now, Kabbalah, we know that a person's not going to learn Kabbalah until they're 40, until they know all the Torah. Up until the Kabbalah, and then they can learn Kabbalah. And a person starts with Kabbalah, it's like, right, it doesn't work. So, I think like Rabbi Mansour was saying, like, it's like if you're learning quantum physics and you never learn math yet. It's like, you got to learn math before you learn quantum physics, right? It doesn't... You can't just start learning quantum physics. So basically, this big rabbi wrote this book, and he was about to publish it and for the public, and he simplified a lot of things in Kabbalah, and he had a dream. He said, no, you simplify too many secrets, right? Kabbalah is called Sod, which literally means secrets. Too many secrets. You have to cut down parts of your book. So he revised the book, and he took out a few parts. And then he was about to publish it, and he had a dream again. No, still too much. You got to cut down a little more. And then again, 3, 4, 5, I don't know how many times this happened, until finally one night he went to sleep and they told him, okay, now your book is ready to be published. So he published his book, and then as he was like going through it, or I don't know, him or other people were going through it, they realized that the stuff that he wrote was almost exactly word for word the commentary of Rashi on the Chumash. Now what's Rashi on the Chumash? Pashut Pshat. Rashi on Chumash is the simplest interpretation you could get, the simplest explanation. Everyone says you want to learn Chumash and know basic Chumash.
Torah?
Learn Rashi, Torah, exactly. Not Gemara, not Halakha, just basic. I want to read the Chumash. I want to know what does this pasuk mean. What does this pasuk?
All that commentary in there.
So the simplest commentary is Rashi. Rashi's whole life was devoted to giving us the simplest commentary to get through Gemara, Chumash, Navi, right?
Well, he had like prophecy to know what it meant, of course.
Okay, I don't know if it's prophecies, but Rashi was one of the greatest scholars of all time. So now, so what am I trying to bring out? Is that the Kabbalah and the Pashut Pshat, which are really two opposite ends of the spectrum. Pashut Pshat is a simple learning. Kabbalah is the sort of the secrets. But somehow they're tied together. They're mixed together. Somehow they're not the same, but they're very, very similar. And just one more quick story. One more quick thing. I was learning the Gra on Mishle. The Gra is the Vilna Gaon, right? The Vilna Gaon. The Gaon Rebbe.
Oh, I just looked up today.
Yeah,
the Vilna Gaon. So Eliyahu.
Yeah. Gaon Rebbe. So the Vilna Gaon writes, so I have to review this, but I think I read this correctly. He writes that people think that the main learning is like Pashut Pshat, and then if you want, you could do Remez and Drush, and you could do deeper, and so on, you could do deeper. Right? That's what he says. People think. But he says it's not true. It's incorrect. The deepest, he says, the main learning is Sod, is Kabbalah. So what does that mean? He says the Pshat and the Remez and the Drush is just learning to get you to know enough in order for you to be able to learn the Kabbalah. So the mentality is not that the Kabbalah is like this abstract thinking and the main learning is the Pshat. No. The Kabbalah is what you have to get to. It's just that you can't learn Kabbalah without learning Pshat and Remez and Drush.
So how are they teaching this Jewish mysticism 301?
Oh, that's not... There's no Rosh Yeshiva stamp on that paper. Is there a rabbi stamp on that paper? Take a copy of that and show it to Rabbi...
Cohen?
Cohen, ask him if you could. Okay, one more
copy.
Take a picture. Don't take the copy. Don't steal. Okay. One more halakha. Let's say the first night you forgot Shechianu. You did Shasani Tim, you forgot Shechianu. What do you do? Yivarech Be'el Sheni. The second night, you could say Shechianu. Well, if you forgot Shechianu the second night,
you're done.
You do it the third night.
Oh.
If you got the third night, do the fourth night.
Don't forget.
All the way until the eighth night. If you miss it the eighth night, then you can't do anymore because there's only eight nights of Hanukkah. Even in America, it's only 8 nights of Hanukkah. Okay?
You can't do it afterward? If you light, you forgot and then said, oh, okay, let me do it now.
I think you have to say at time of lighting. I think so. This meaning you, after you, like right after you finish lighting, I think you have to.
Like, is there a time frame?
I think it has to be said before. Kodem
hadlaga.
Before
you light. Like, yeah. Really,
okay. Yeah.
Once you light, you missed your opportunity.
I think so. But it's a good question. Meaning, you want to know, what if you're already lit, and it's the first night, but the candles are still on, it's 5 minutes later, and you're like, oh my gosh, I've got Shechianu.
Or she says Shechianu something else in order to fulfill.
It's a good question. I don't know. Let me find out. Let me get back to you. Blee Nether. Let me get back to you. Okay, I'm going to make right when we finish the share, I'll make a note on my phone to ask. Mm-hmm. So if you forgot the first night, you say the second night, and so on and so forth up until the last night. As long as you never said it, you say it tonight. Third night, fourth night, fifth night, whatever night it is, you say it. Now, the Gam HaAvel, Avel, someone who's in mourning, Yivarech Shechianu, says the word, the Baruch HaShechianu. Avel, someone who's in mourning, right? Aval Onen is someone who lost a parent, but the dead is not buried yet. So there's something called Onen. Onen is basically a person who's not an Avel, and he's basically in this like quasi state. But a person, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, who should never know these things, loses a parent, then what happens is that until the parent is buried, I don't know if this applies to a sibling also or a child, I think it's just a parent, but I'm not sure. Truth, I'm not sure. But let's just say a parent, that's the easiest example. If a person, Chas V'Shalom, loses a parent, then until the parent is buried, right, for those 6 or 12 or 18 hours until they're buried, they're called Onen. Onen is a person who is patur from all mitzvot. So the Ben Yishchai says, Onen should yadlik below beracha. Even though he's patur from all mitzvot, Onen doesn't wear tefillin, he doesn't do anything, right? He's patur from mitzvot, meaning he's not allowed to start eating pig just because he's Onen.
He's patur from mitzvot
that you do. Positive mitzvot. So he says, the Onen...
He can't break Shabbat.
Exactly, he can't break Shabbat, but he doesn't have to make berachot, he doesn't have to put on tefillin. So he writes, the Onen should make a beracha, should yadlik, I mean, below beracha. He should light, but he shouldn't make beracha. Okay? Because he's on it. He's not allowed to say beracha, but he should still light. Now it's interesting that he says you should still light. I'm curious to know if everyone agrees to this. I want to find out. Maybe this sounds like it might be controversial, because usually on it, I think it's patur from mitzvot. So I don't know if he says you should light. Okay, Ben Shai says you should light. And the last thing he says, "V'im eshar b'shaliach nachon v'adif yoter." If the onen is able to have a shaliach, someone light for him and have him in mind, right? Just like when I was in the Mir Yeshiva and I was in Shayashiv, I had people light. And
yeah, how did you get yoter? You're yoter from your father. I missed. I'm sorry.
Oh, so I had.
Are you yoter the father?
So my father and my friend. I both. I gave my friend like 50 cents or whatever.
You should wait till your father. You're yoter even though if you're in a different country.
Yeah, so I did that, but also just to be just in case.
To be safe, you did it yourself.
To be safe, I did it with my friend. I gave my friend like 50 cents and I was like part of his menorah. And when he made the bracha, he had me in mind.
You can't just do your own?
No, you can't make a bracha, no. You know that? Because my bracha levatala.
Why do you give 50 cents?
No, because you want to be mishtatef. You want to be part of his
mitzvah
with the what?
Why do you need to pay him at all?
So I think because I think when you light Chanukah, when you light the menorah, I think you have to light a menorah that belongs to you. So I think in this, I think so.
So if it's your own, what?
Exactly. So it's like a partnership. Yeah, it's like I'm buying a part ownership. Exactly.
What does adif mean?
A better, more, a more. It either means more or better. Yeah. So if you're able to have a shaliach. Then nachon v'adif yoter. It's nachon. It's correct v'adif and better yoter. Even more. Even better. Okay. Hazak baruch. How do we stop the recording? Hazak baruch.
How is it? 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 How is it?